Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, Knight Nation. I'm Trey Strelko from the Sons of UCF, joined by Eric Lopez of the Black and Gold Banner. Welcome to Around the Kingdom. Elo, hello.
Hello, Trace. Coming up on the fastest UCF show, spring football, kind of quiet. Is that a good thing? What are we doing? Plus, somebody's saying Oklahoma State's going to dominate the Big 12. Will Trace dispute that? Plus, what happened? Trace said the Big 12 basketball is the best conference in the sport. Where are they? We're all going to break all that down coming up on Around the Kingdom.
All right, Elo, before we get going in all of that, let us welcome in the third member of our team, Adam Eaton from the Sons of UCF. Keeps an eye on the clock, keeps us on our toes. Adam, hello.
Greetings, gentlemen. It may be April, and we are fools, but this episode is no joke at all, my friends.
Been saving up all day for that.
All day. I'll see you guys later.
We'll check back with you in a bit. Elo, you mentioned it. Football spring camp continuing, but where's the quarterback controversy? Could boring actually be a good thing for the UCF Knights?
I definitely think it can be. What was the last time, Trace, that we've gone this far into spring football and there's been not much chatter about the quarterback position or anything specific? It's been very low-key, ho-hum, quarterback KJ Jefferson talking, everybody's excited. I like it. It's been a while since we've had a drama-free kind of stir the pot type of a spring here, haven't we, Trace?
Certainly has, and I'm actually for that, right? We've had more access from head coach Gus Malzahn on the media side. You're getting more interviews. You're talking to more players. They're all saying the right things, which you'd expect. I thought it was interesting. Provocateur, friend of the program, JP Gilbert, saying, we went through 2 years of Zapruder-level film of the quarterbacks, and now we're getting 4K videos of the quarterback throwing passes. Tells me all I need to know about our quarterback situation. I thought that was an interesting post by JP in that UCF's highlight package, showing a lot of KJ Jefferson, the Arkansas transfer. You can tell they are all bought in to KJ.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And first of all, what post that JP Gilbert does isn't interesting. I would argue that was all interesting. Look, that's right. I think that everybody's confident in what KJ Jefferson can do. I think if you're a fan base, you can see what KJ Jefferson's done at Arkansas. This seems like a fit, and everybody knows it. And it's just a matter of, okay, how's the defense going to look? But, yeah, I mean, low-key, I think that's a nice change of pace, for example, and I think could lead to promising things. This fall, Trace, I'm really optimistic about this team. I know you're still on the fence. You're still holding, you know, kind of being the Grinch, if you will. I don't know. We're all going to lose these games. I'm telling you, this team's got something pretty good. I like this spring.
What do you think of, though, that point that when it comes to the highlights released by UCF, especially Gus Malzahn, very tight usually on the types of clips, they're not holding back in the highlights packages that they're showing from the spring scrimmage over the weekend. That's also raising fan expectation as we head into fall.
Which is good, though. I think that's a good thing. I think you want people to be interested and invest in your program, to be emotionally invested. And if you just give them a little bit to show, hey, this is what's coming, maybe comes in the spring, we're going to see in the fall, I think people get excited. I wouldn't be surprised if you get a better crowd in the spring game as a result of that. I just think that's a good thing. I think it's good publicity. I think you got to PR your program as in best opportunities, and I think maybe everybody's realizing that. I think that's a positive.
of course, setting high expectations, you've got to deliver on them. And of course, we won't know what that looks like until fall, but expectations continue to ratchet up in what has otherwise been a pretty quiet spring camp so far for the UCF Knights.
Yeah, I think I think it's been low key. And I think the media has done a good job with it too. I think we're seeing more and more chatter on that. Of course, there's some chatter. Perhaps this team can make a run at a national championship. Trace, did you know that we have a signage for a national championship? Some people wondered if that's going to last when they upgrade on the Mr. Towers there over there. What do you think of that national title 2017? Still going to be with us here?
I like how you said some people, if you didn't mean UCF Mike, part of the Sons of UCF family, right? Who questioned the artist renderings that came out with the new tower showing, maybe missing that 2017 national champions. It does bring up the question though, Elo, should that be up there? Should UCF distance itself from that line of attack that came out of the 2017 season?
Trace, dude, first of all, let's settle down. Let's settle down. That's my homage to Mike there. We didn't know. They didn't say anything that they were going to get rid of it or anything. They just showed something, a drawing, and it just so happened there was a signage. Mike got a little fired up and started some things. I don't know. I could go either way on that. You're more invested in this. You really strongly believe that should be there forever.
I do strongly believe that it should be there forever. I also had to laugh at Mike calling out UCF Athletics and Terry Mahodger. This needed a little bit of journalism, but that's what social media presents itself as today. And I had to laugh even more when Athletic Director Terry Mahodger of the Big 12 UCF Knights responded directly to Mike with, as you mentioned, as you alluded to, "Mike, dude, of course it will still adorn the Roth Tower." So a lot of overreaction, but hey, that makes the top 10 overreactions of the year so far, don't you think?
Top 10 might be top five. Or what do you mean top 10? Might be top five. Like I said, it was a drawing and we're jumping to conclusions. That's a little quick, but it was it was harmless. It was entertaining. And we got an answer out of it. So, hey, who got the last laugh? Mike would say, you know what? I did my job.
It is Mike who has also said that he doesn't back once a night, always a night. If you were once a night and you leave, you were a night once, which brings us to the revival of the now XFL, USFL as the United Football League. And hey, you remember that internet sensation, Donald Delahaye, the kicker who had a cup of coffee at UCF? Interesting to me that UCF embraced him, wished him well from the main football account. And that got a little bit of pushback in some circles. And Donald Delahaye was on the Pat McAfee show on Monday, asked about UCF and his thoughts and feelings, and he seemed to be indifferent towards UCF. What do you make of UCF's embrace of him? Should he be back in UCF's good graces?
Well, first of all, breaking news here. Trace watching the Pat McAfee show. Hello.
I saw the clip. Didn't watch.
I'm sure you did. Oh, sure. No. Yeah. You're a closet McAfee fan. I get you there. You know, I don't know. I think what I would say is I think schools always try to be the positive and move forward with things like that. Keep in mind, a lot of these people were not around when that whole thing played out. So they may not even be
fully UCF, aware. Though, correct? Is that not correct that he sued UCF at a point in time there?
I wouldn't bring him back. I mean, I thought it was a nuts. I thought he was in the wrong. I thought he was selfish. He was not even a kicker. He was more of a kickoff guy. And he was trying to jeopardize the team. I don't think UCF did anything wrong. They tried to help him, and he just wouldn't listen to it. Certainly ironic that things have changed now in college athletics, so now it wouldn't have been a big deal. He would have been able to do what he wanted to do, which was be on a YouTube with UCF stuff. I don't know. UCF's in a – it's one of those damn if you do, damn if you don't, right? Like, if you try to be the positive and be the better person – for it, you get criticized. If you ignore them, oh, they don't care. So I see those sides of it, but I would just, what league is he in again? Where is he at right now?
The combined XFL, USFL, the United Football League.
Maybe the bigger issues that we're talking about.
San Antonio Brahmas.
How about we don't bring up the UFL, all right? Let's shoot for NFL.
I'm going to make that a prop bet one week. Something about Delahaye and his kicks. He is once a night. He is not forever a night. But, boy, it all look so benign considering where we've gone now with name, image, and likeness, that was a controversy not too long ago, you know.
Boy, it's just a good theme for the show. Once a night, a former night. We're going to talk about another former night later on the show that's going to get brought up, which I think is a much more positive direction. But first, Trace, we got an article on Rivals that suggested that Oklahoma State will dominate the Big 12. Fact or fiction, Trace?
I'm less interested in that question than will the new powers that be in the Big 12 be the legacy Big 12 programs, or will there be a changing of the guard? I think the fact that sites such as this embracing Oklahoma State, which was right in a conference title game, despite losing to UCF 45-3 at one point in the season, that the automatic is to go back to those legacy teams, that UCF still fighting for respect, as are the other newcomers. I think that's the more interesting part of this. I don't know. I think Oklahoma State has proven to be competitive. It gets easier for every school with the departure of Texas and Oklahoma. I consider it wide open. I don't consider it theirs.
I would agree, but that could be a fun storyline, right? Maybe that's how rivalries get built, the legacy programs against the new establishment. It is WrestleMania week, after all. Let's build some feuds, right? I'm all for it. If we're going to do some trash talking, I don't believe they're going to dominate. I think this league is actually going to be pretty wide open. Utah, I think, will have something to say on the football side. You know, they've had a good run in football. I think this league will be kind of every year going to have different teams. I don't think anybody dominates, but I kind of like the little storyline of legacy programs against the new kids on the block. That's a good angle to sell there, Trace. That builds up some interest there.
Is it even more divided than that? You've got the inclusion of these Pac-12 schools. You've got the upstarts from the American. You've got those legacy schools from the Big 12, the Big 8, you know. And it's going to take them a while to come together as a league. I see these as some points of distinction between the programs.
I 100% agree, because I've talked to people on the Pac-12 side. Are they going to embrace this? Are they still going to be kind of heartbroken because the Pac-12 disappeared? Oh, woe is us. You know, I think there's some interesting plot lines from that standpoint, not just in football, but all the sports in general. And will there be friction within the league? Or, you know, maybe. Could be interesting.
We need topics for future around the kingdom. So let there be friction, Elo. Amen. No friction with Adam Eaton. Let's bring him back in. Time for some silliness.
All right, guys, here we go. Here's the first question on today's silly game. There's a lot of conversation on the socials about coaches and contracts and so on and so forth. Trace, I think you know what I'm talking about here. But this question, Eric, I'll start with you. Here's the question. Fill in the blank. The coach you would be most concerned about leaving UCF for another job is blank. Who are you most concerned about leaving UCF for another job?
Wow. Adam, going right up fastball here, right? Maybe the rise ball. I'm always concerned, obviously, Sydney Ball Malone. Obviously, when she's built at UCF softball, you wonder, you know, do other jobs they look at her? UCF, what's the future of the facilities and things like that? That would be the one that jumps to my mind as far as the coach that, you know, oh, they might go after.
I think there are a lot of coaches that you don't want to lose, Cindy being one of them. I'll go with Scott Calabrese because I don't think you have quite the same hook as you do with softball and the other sports. You don't get to say Big 12 as part of your recruitment pitch, though with men's soccer, it's in a highly competitive quality league in the Sun Belt. I think there are a lot of coaches that you don't want to have to replace. Hey, who replaces Linda Gooch at some point with cheerleading? That is a tough position. We're not risking losing her to another program, but I'd say Scott Calabrese, that would be a tough one to replace, but Cindy as well. There are several, and it goes to show you the quality and the depth of the coaching staff across UCF sports.
All right, Trace, I'll start this next one with you. UCF put a little post out today. It may have been an April Fool's post, and there was just a silhouette picture of a football player in a jersey, a lot of speculation, but I've never asked you two on this show. So Trace, I'll start with you. Are you pro gold jersey or anti gold jersey? A lot of folks think maybe that was teasing a gold jersey. Could have been April Fool's Day. Brian W. Peterson is all in a lather right now. Trace, pro or anti gold jersey?
Caveat here. It's got to be gold, but I'm pro gold. You can pull off gold, but UCF has not done that well in the past. So it's got to be gold. It cannot be cream and beige and anything else watered down. It's got to be gold.
What color four? What colors are you talking about? It's got to be gold. What do you mean? What are the other options here? I don't know. It's either gold or not answered.
Pointed out things that look watered down, that looked like cream, that looked like beige, that looked like yellow.
Chris is a respected journalist. He's trying to refer to the urine gold color jerseys. I will be the guy to say urine on the episode. Urine is the answer.
That's what I was trying not to say.
Yes. First of all, when I go to my journey, I don't remember Christian Simmons referencing that. So this is news to me. But anyway, I'm on the Brian W. Peterson bandwagon here. I've always been about gold. I have a gold football jersey from many years back that I framed. I loved it when they wore all gold in 2012 against UTEP. I do agree with Trace. It's the proper gold, no fake gold nonsense. But I'm all for a little gold. We are black and gold, aren't we?
We are. I'm glad I could also be the guy to say urine on this episode.
Congrats. Of Around the
Game. Yes, that was not part of that. I had no idea that was going to be a word.
Big win for all of us. All right, Eric, I'm going to start with you on this one. It's Monday. We're recording on Monday. The LSU and Iowa women's basketball game just finished on ESPN, a highly contested battle. Iowa wins the game. It was obviously something that people look forward to. So, Eric, I'll start this with you. Has the women's NCAA basketball tournament usurped the men's tournament in terms of excitement right now?
Well, look at you with the dictionary there. I like that. So obviously it's grabbed more interest. Caitlin Clark.
He's in the U's. He's in the U section.
Yes. Yeah. The dictionary. I think certainly Caitlin Clark and the Iowa and that storyline, it's dominated, that ESPN has pushed that narrative. Certainly has made things a lot more interesting, and certainly when you compare the men's Connecticut blowing everybody out. But I still think the best college basketball game we're going to have here, the remainder, is going to be that potential Connecticut-Purdue men's basketball game. And I think that's going to do pretty well. But from a drama and storyline standpoint, it seems like the women, with all the stuff that's been going on, as Vic Schaefer, the Texas head coach, says, only in women's basketball this stuff happens.
Yeah, I don't think it's usurped it, Adam, but I think the storylines have been there. LSU's head coach, the whole controversy about the article in the Washington Post, the Caitlin Clark storyline, they've certainly gotten more press. I think the ratings will show success for both basketball games on Monday night, and shows you the growing strength of women's basketball and women's sports in general.
All right, last one. I have no U word for this one, so I'll just I'll keep this one simple. Trace, if you could be on any television game show, which game show would you want to be on?
Do we count things like Survivor and The Amazing Race, or those are just?
I'm willing to count shows. Adventure shows if you want those. Yes.
I would love to try Survivor, but if we're talking a more traditional game show, throw me on The Price is Right. I can guess what the cost of a box.
You got a can of beans figured out, do you?
Yeah. I'll okay. do my best. But Price All right. is Right.
Elo, game show. What game show would you dominate, my friend?
I would have said Price is Right, but Bob Barker has passed along. So I wouldn't even have done that version. Exactly. Very
He will not be in Happy Gilmore. He will not be in Happy Gilmore 2. I can exclusively report.
There's a Happy Gilmore 2?
There could be. They could use
holograms, whatever.
Previous, yeah. Boy. Princess Leia, she showed up in another Star Wars.
Wow, Star Wars. What a segment. This might be the wildest silly game ever.
I can't wait to see how Adam teases this show.
I can't wait either. I will say Family Feud, Steve Hart.
Wow. So like who would that. You... Would you go with your actual family for the family, Elo? Would you go with maybe the son's family, the Benaret family, some of your softball friends? Can you give me your four
One
other
from each of your many ventures.
So, I mean, first of all, would you be available, Adam? That would be my question. I'm, if you're available, I would bring you. I would bring.
Yes. Yeah. I'm free. Yes.
Okay. So I would bring you. I would bring yes. Trace. Yes. I would bring Brian Murphy, who used to be a Benaret, now covers baseball.
Good
Brilliant.
Call. Good call.
But he might blow us off for a baseball game. But let's assume he goes. And then I'm going to go Andrew Glukoff.
Wow.
Knows it all. He's my guy. Let's go.
All right. Let's go to work. That sounds like a winning combo. If you need the word urethra, I'm there for you, Elo.
Fair. By the way, that was a record-breaking women's basketball segment on the Round of Kingdom right here.
Yeah, that was. All right. Staying with hoops. Elo. Is there some commitment issues with UCF men's basketball? Highly touted recruit who committed to UCF, KJ Green has publicly decommitted, joins a slew of others now. It's piling up. Joey Hart, Petrus, and he's got a very difficult last name. I'm not going to attempt it. What do you make of this? There need to be changes to this, right? I mean, commitment means what at this level?
It's a great question. It's a fair point. I would say college basketball as a whole is in trouble. This is not just a UCF thing. This has happened elsewhere. So it just so happens we're following this. Yeah, I don't have much to say to this except, yeah, I wish college basketball is out of control for a lot of reasons. I think, you know, opportunity. Now, in fairness, this happens on both ways, right? Like there are programs that will say, hey, we're decommitting from your commitment. It would be great if you moved on and stuff. But I just feel it's much more scrutinized in basketball. Guys decommitting and things like that. You know, football, we see it more on the verbal side being decommitted. But, yeah, I mean, it's another example of college athletics changing before our eyes.
Well, let me ask you this question. I see a lot of comments from fans on social media and on message boards. We'll make it specific to UCF in this situation. Johnny Dawkins is too nice. You shouldn't let these kids out of their commitments. What would be the impact of that if you – really clamped down and enforced it? I don't disagree with the sentiment that you want to have these kids honor their commitments, but if you really tried to do that, what would be the ripple effect for a program like UCF?
That's what do you gain from that long term? Like, the kid's going to be happy? Is he not going to be happy? Now, I understand the other side of it. If it keeps, you know, there's a trend there, you know, is it easy? You know, who knows? It's unfortunately in college basketball, your word doesn't mean as much as it used to. And that's unfortunate in some places in college basketball. I mean, look at some of the coaches that have been hired over the years in recent years, and they're kind of a shaky background. So it's a great point. I can't argue with anything you said. I understand both sides of it. It's frustrating, but at the same time, if a kid doesn't want to be there, you got to let him go, because you know what? Nobody complains when the coach wants to get rid of a player. It's funny we don't bring that up. Nobody has a problem with that on the other side, Trace.
No, you saw it with Colorado and Deion Sanders getting rid of his entire roster, right? Yeah. Turning over his entire team. And now with UCF men's basketball, portal's been open a couple of weeks between the graduated seniors and the kids that have entered the portal. I think it's just a couple of players left on that bench for Johnny Dawkins.
Well, welcome to college basketball 2023-2024.
You know, that's going to be it, isn't it? This is going to be the case every year. You're going to completely turn over the roster.
What, you know, Adam brought up the question, as women's basketball tournament, Pat, you know, his fancy words, you know, more interest in men's basketball. I think one of the things that's worked in women's basketball's favor is you know who's who. You can mention who Caitlin Clark is. You know who Paige Becker is on UConn. How many of you can name the best player on Alabama's basketball team this weekend on the Final Four? Not many. That's a big problem in men's basketball. There's constant roster turnover. So point. All right. Speaking of March Madness, we've been hyping this Big 12 as the best league in the sport, but there are no men's Big 12 Final Four teams in Arizona. No Elite Eight teams, obviously, you know, they as well. Did we maybe we got a little bridge, you know, high above there on the Big 12? Anything to be concerned about from a Big 12 perspective when it comes to men's basketball in their postseason?
It knocks them down a peg, but no long-term ramifications. I think you would have liked to have seen a Final Four participant from the Big 12. You certainly know Brett Yormark would have liked. When you put as many schools in as the Big 12 did, you would like to have gone farther than they did. So, I don't think so. I don't think there's any long-term damage. But you see already a questioning of the quality of the victories, the quality of the conference throughout the season. You even see UCF fans saying, well, Kansas had a down year, invalidating in some ways UCF's victory over Kansas. I don't know that that's fair in that case for UCF's win over Kansas or for the Big 12 as a whole. Would they like to have had a team Final Four national championship? Sure, they're not going to. It's still a hell of a league.
Considering, like, I remember Adam last year on Sons of UCF Live figured that we'll probably never win against Kansas ever. The fact we won a game, I can't believe we're actually going to nitpick the win. Come on. That was awesome win. I will say this. I'm going to defend the Big 12 in this regard. Jamal Shedd got hurt. Severe sprained ankle early first half. I think if he's healthy, they beat Duke and they beat NC State. We're not having this conversation. I think they're in the Final Four. Kansas, the problem that Kansas had is they got hurt. Their best player, McCullough, didn't play in the NCAA tournament. They didn't have the depth. So it wasn't that they weren't good. They just got hurt at the wrong time. And Iowa State ended up being the second best team. Some people have said in the past about the Big 12, the league is so difficult during the season. Do you wear yourself out by the time you get to the tournament? Mm-hmm. That has been a criticism some have said by the league. I will counter with, it wasn't too far long ago, Baylor and Kansas won national titles in this decade. So,
going to be good Final Four. It still looks like UConn's to lose, right? I mean, they are pretty good. How about a 30-0 run against Illinois? It's insane. Let's switch over to our prop bets. Elo, you're back in the win column. You cut this to 12-10, my lead. What was this one? You took Privesque with three hits. Sundin is who I picked at UCF baseball. He ended up with two hits in that game, and you get the win there. This week, Elo, let you have first pick on this one. We're going to do hits plus runs minus errors. Which day? How about the Friday games? You want the Friday games?
Because we could do Friday. We could do the
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
If you want, we could do the whole weekend. Whatever you want to do. It's your rules. I will beat you in whatever rule you want, Trace. That's perfectly
I like
fine.
That. Let's do all three games. Yeah. Hits plus runs minus errors. You get first pick, a baseball player.
I am going to go with Mr. Jack Siska, the right fielder for the Knights, former Notre Dame transfer.
Yeah, I like that. I didn't think you were going to take him, so I'll take Matt Privesque. For softball, I've got first pick. Give me Jada Cody.
Oh, good pick. Good pick. I'm going to go Chloe Evans. Oh. I'm going both right fielders for UCF baseball and softball for the weekend.
Very good, Elo. Very good. Oh. All right, well, something to watch over all three games.
Well, I'll tell you a team to watch all weekend is your new top 25 UCF baseball team, Trace. While you were away, baseball beat won the series against Texas Tech, 2 out of 3. They're ranked in the top 25 in D1 baseball, among other polls. Perfect Games is also ranked, but I'm a D1 baseball guy personally. Are you believing as baseball gets set, they're going to have another big series at home this weekend in the Big 12 against Kansas State? Are you buying in UCF baseball, top 25 ranked team?
You know, I've hedged on this for a couple of weeks, and they've now won three straight series, though they have not swept, which, of course, is very difficult in baseball, period, but certainly in this Big 12. I'm pretty confident about the pitching, but the bats have gone a little bit quiet. I'm getting there, Elo. I'm into the top 25 with them. They certainly are doing better than the preseason projection of 10. I'm buying in, but I'm not fully there yet. But I like what Rich Wallace has assembled here. Turning over the roster, bringing in a lot of different guys, and he's shown that they can turn things around in a season.
Well, he's brought in players that know how to win, like Ziska at Notre Dame, et cetera, that know how to play ball. I bought in from this standpoint. You mentioned the pitching. When was the last time we ever talked about good pitching in UCF consistently during conference play? Been a while. That's been a big pleasant surprise. And here's what I like. Look. I think some of the metrics have actually kind of overblown UCF. They're in like single digits in the RPI and stuff. I think that's a little high. However, what I will say this, they have a midweek wins over Florida and Miami, weekend wins over Oklahoma State and Texas Tech now. That's a good resume you're building in a wide open Big 12 in baseball. This ain't like softball. This league is kind of wide open, maybe down. Maybe they don't have that top team. They're rated third in the conference. I think in some polls, UCF's the only Big 12 ranked team. So, a much more wide-open league, which creates opportunities for a team like UCF to win some extra games and get back to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2017.
Let's switch to softball. You and I were there where they got swept by Texas and hit the road. Take 2 out of 3 in Lubbock and do so with one of the most exciting games you're ever going to see. How many runs did they score in that 7th inning to win that first game? 7?
7 runs with 2 outs. Two outs.
How hard is that? Have you seen anything like that in all your years covering UCF?
I can honestly tell you, this is my 18th season with UCF softball calling games. That is one of the wildest nights of UCF softball, maybe the wildest weekend that I can remember witnessing, watching them against Texas Tech. They had to come from behind in the first night, second night, down to their last out, score 7 runs. Then Texas Tech responds, scores 2 runs, gets the bases loaded, nobody out. Sarah Willis strikes out the side to win it 12-9. They lose a 1-run game on Saturday. So they've now lost 11 games this year by two runs or less. But they win 2 out of 3 at Texas Tech, who had an RPI in the 30s. That's a big series win for UCF, who moves up to 43 in the RPI. Fifth strongest schedule in the country. Big games this weekend with BYU, who's in the top 50 RPI, coming in. And we get to see an old friend of yours, Trace, and Adam, and Sons of UCF, and UCF fans, and Matty Bejarano, and a very explosive BYU offense, which is a big, big series. UCF and BYU kind of in the same line as far as the NCAA tournament outlook.
Just win series. All right, let's welcome back in Adam. Adam, what did we get right? What did we get wrong? Give us some knowledge.
All right, here we go. You guys talked about this being a boring spring football season. Careful what you wish for. The transfer portal opens April 16th, so you never know what'll happen. April 16th, April 30th, the transfer portal is open for spring football. You guys talked about Donald Delahaye. 2 years at UCF, 2015-2016, appeared in 23 games as a kickoff specialist. He did settle a lawsuit, Trace, in 2018 against UCF, and he was able to
against UCF.
He was able to seek readmission as a student, although I don't believe he actually did readmit as a student. We talked about basketball and transfers. The KJ Green announcement was labeled as mutual, and so I guess we don't know exactly what happened there. But you talked about some of the other guys out of their letters of intent, Trace. Joey Hart went to Kentucky. He played 7 games, averaged 0.4 points a game there. And Petrus Padigimus went to Dayton, Trace. 25 games, averaged 1.1 point a game there. So maybe we didn't lose as much. I guess we will see. And last but not least, Elo, you were correct. According to D1 Baseball, UCF is the only Big 12 team ranked in the top 25.
Let's go. Fire me up.
Thank you, Adam. One more thing before we go. Elo, how fast are you? Are you faster than Pegasus? Kingdom NIL out with another opportunity for fans to participate in the upcoming spring game. Dress up in a Citronaut costume and race against Pegasus. Just $600, that'll set you back.
That's all? Game? No, there's nothing with me and fast. The only thing that's me with fast is this show. That's it.
That is right. Look for new episodes midweek every week on the Sons of UCF YouTube channel. Drops later in the audio feed as well. Thank you, Adam. For Eric Lopez, I'm Trace Trolko. Thank you for watching this week's Around the Kingdom.
Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.